AgBioScience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
I think we're going to see more and more individuals that do not come from a traditional ag background who were exposed to food and ag through STEM education and found it interesting, finding their way into careers in the ag biosciences. And actually, I think that's a really good thing. I think that's exciting. I think it's what we're going to see in the next 10 to 15 years.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. I'm the Growth Movement's Amy Jones and this week's guest host of the podcast. The words talent and shortage come packaged together in nearly every sentence across almost every industry these days. It's a widespread challenge that raises a bigger question for ag bioscience companies. Do our hurdles look like the same as other industries? And if not, what do we do next? Here to share his perspective is Blaze Curry, agriculture practice lead for Vivaic. Blaze, welcome to Ag Bioscience.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
We're so glad to have you here. And if you're good, we're going to go ahead and get this conversation started with a high-level conversation around your perspective on the current market overview for ag bioscience companies when it comes to talent and leadership. Curious on where you feel like we sit today relative to other workforce needs in other industries.
So the perception of careers has improved for this industry since the farm crisis of the 80s. But pretty much every study that we've looked at for the last 20 years has shown that the demand for talent for ag biosciences, especially for talent with degrees in agricultural related fields, that demand has exceeded the supply. So most employers today are having to look outside of the traditional ag degrees and traditional talent channels, and that's going to continue. But there's one additional factor that's pretty unique to the ag biosciences, and that is that we're facing the beginnings of what's a pretty substantial leadership transition in agriculture. And what it's caused by are the baby boomers retiring out of leadership roles. And that's not unique to the ag industry, but what is a bit unique to the ag biosciences is that many of those leaders that have held those roles and are now exiting the industry as they retire, many of those leaders grew up with really deep experience in agriculture. They grew up on farms. And those that are going to replace them in those leadership roles, fewer of those individuals are going to have that kind of ag experience. And so that's actually going to have a fairly substantial impact, we believe, on the larger landscape of ag biosciences.
And your organization, remind us, maybe tell us a little bit about your organization, but we know that you consult and help optimize business solutions, which of course includes talent and leadership. And you touched on it a little bit that agriculture kind of has that niche of a farming background. But what are some unique headwinds that you feel like this industry has in front of them that's different than what you've seen in other organizations?
One thing that is not necessarily new to the ag biosciences, but is going to continue to be more pronounced, and that is attracting and retaining top talent. So this is, again, not necessarily a new challenge, but I'll share a quick anecdote. We posted an article recently about this topic, and we had someone that made a comment, and I thought, oh, they've really kind of nailed it. What this individual said was that we're not competing in a vacuum. There's other industries recruiting the same talent. And so he was expressing to some leaders in his organization that a lot of these employees, they're getting really competitive salaries and they're being asked to work 8-hour jobs at, you know, working 9 to 5. And he said the leaders in our company, many of them of an older generation, you know, they grew up saying, well, we used to put in 12 hours. And since there's a bit of a reluctance to change, like we're the ag industry, we're different. And I think his comment was, yes, but people have choices. We might have to change the way we operate if we're going to continue to attract that kind of talent. And we see that a lot also in the veterinary space. So there's a national shortage of rural and large animal veterinarians. And part of that is because when they leave vet school, there's opportunities that are less hours and higher pay. So part of this is just we have to attract and retain talent, which is a headwind that the ag industry and ag biosciences face. The second headwind that I alluded to earlier is this generational change. So this may not be as impactful for large global companies or multinational organizations, but for ag retailers, local cooperatives, county and state level producer associations, there's a change about to happen with a lot of those in the boomer generation retiring, and they were what we would call farm grown leaders. So they grew up on the farm in production agriculture, and many of them are going to be replaced by leaders who don't have that same kind of experience. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, I think there's probably a lot of people that are excited about that change, to be quite honest. But these new leaders are probably going to approach decisions a little bit differently as a result. you've seen probably a lot of headlines around the average age of a producer, a primary decision maker, 65, millions of acres are about to change hands. Well, that same effect is going to happen to retail organizations, co-ops. And we believe that will cause a ripple across the industry as these new leaders begin taking over from the generation of baby boomers that's retiring.
Yeah, I think about my previous work experience. I was in higher education, agricultural recruitment, and that percentage of students that had that farming, traditional agriculture background was decreasing naturally with what you're describing there. But how do you also remain flexible and adaptable and open to that diversity of thought that I think you described really well? I'd like to go back in time a little bit. I'm excited to focus on solutions after the commercial break with you. But if we could go back in time a little bit, what are some of the challenges that you feel hit our industry that helped create this wave of talent disparity that we're talking about today?
There's actually two different challenges. One of them affected all industries, and that is that the generation following baby boomers, Generation X, is smaller cohort. So to put in perspective, for every 100 Gen Xers that's going to turn 50 this year, well, 135 baby boomers is going to turn 65 and 132 millennials is going to turn 35. So it's just a smaller cohort. Now, that affects every industry. But what is unique to the ag biosciences was caused by the farm crisis in the 80s. So many of the Gen Xers, when they were making decisions about where they wanted to go in their career, what kind of trajectory they wanted to have, it was on the heels of the farm crisis. And so many of their families said, hey, especially if they came from a farm, were saying, don't pursue a career in agriculture. And so many of them didn't. And so if you look at data around universities, ag degrees and ag colleges in the 80s, you'll see a big drop in college graduates. So that kind of exacerbates this larger issue that's happening in a lot of industries. It exacerbates it in the ag biosciences, because basically now organizations are having to replace these retiring baby boomers. They either have to look outside the industry, or they have to be willing to replace them with people that have fewer years of experience.
Little younger talent, yeah. So you mentioned the college enrollment back in the 80s, but I'm curious if you have any data, especially with my background in higher ed, on the pipeline of college students pursuing careers and majors within the agricultural industry.
Amy, so that's a bit of good news. So there was a lot of growth in the 90s and the 2000s. So for the most part, the college enrollment in ag has been pretty steady. But part of the reason for that, and I think, Amy, you alluded to this, and you talked about that many of the students pursuing these degrees in agriculture are not coming from traditional ag backgrounds. And so organizations have done a really good job. Future Farmers of America, FFA, 4-H, Manners, AFA, there's many of them out there. They have done a really good job at getting students interested in agriculture. So they're pursuing degrees, but they don't necessarily have that same ag experience. Again, I don't think this is a problem. I think this is how the industry has achieved what it's been able to achieve. But that is the difference between when the baby boomers entered the industry versus today, is the pipeline looks a little bit different in terms of the experience that these young leaders have as they come out of college.
I love hearing that. And I actually feel like when I started in higher education, we knew this talent shortage was coming. So it's good to hear that some of the efforts that we've been doing within colleges of agriculture are helping with the pipeline. We'll talk about solutions and what's ahead for the industry coming up next. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
From berries to dairies, from crop advisors to data analyzers, Indiana Farm Bureau is at the forefront of the top issues impacting Indiana agriculture. No matter your role in the ag industry, Indiana Farm Bureau membership means you'll always have a champion and an advisor. And because so much of your time is focused on your own enterprise, it's also good to know Indiana Farm Bureau is always working to fight for the future of agriculture. We come together to advocate for rural viability, the protection of property rights, competitive tax policies, and against burdensome regulations. Whether our members need a door opened, an impact in public policy, or an ally to strengthen their communities, Indiana Farm Bureau is there. We are the unified voice for all agriculture. To learn more about the benefits of Indiana Farm Bureau membership, go to infb.org.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. Blaze, the ag bioscience industry has never been one to shy away from solutions, and this certainly isn't the time or the moment for that. So how do you see companies needing to adapt to the future to fill the talent needs that we've described before the break?
One thing that organizations are going to need to do is recruit talent outside the industry. So that means that they might be recruiting individuals that don't have quite the same experience that they might have been used to. I'll use an example. I was talking to an owner of a regional seed business a couple of years ago, and he said, when we recruited folks, we used to just have like an expectation that they had on the farm experience. They understood how the farm business worked. And so there was like an afterthought. It wasn't anything we paid much attention to. And he said, now we have to be more intentional about how we onboard and what we include in that onboarding. So one is just being able to recruit talent from outside of the industry, or at least outside of that core on the farm experience. There's also an opportunity to grow talent from within the industry. So AgBiosciences is very technical in nature. So organizations need to be really good at identifying potential leaders who have really good technical knowledge and acumen, but need some upskilling when it comes to leadership and management so that they can become the next leaders of these companies and industries. So those are two ways I think organizations could do it. There's actually one other thing that I think as a larger ag bioscience industry that we need to focus on, and that is supporting and being better able to connect food and agriculture to STEM education for high school students. So we mentioned earlier that there's a lot of organizations that have done a tremendous job in getting young people interested in agriculture. But just to look at the numbers, there's probably something like 1 million to 1.5 million, something around there, students that are taking high school ag classes, which is great. But there are 16 million students that are taking science classes. And so I think as an industry, if the ag bioscience industry can get those students to see examples of STEM in action connected to food and ag, that's going to increase the likelihood that they might be interested in a career in agriculture. And I think that's going to be really important in the industry moving forward.
I feel like that entire time you're talking, I was just snapping my fingers and like, yes! How do we bring more attention into those science spaces? Well, I love having the conversation about maybe earlier talent and mid talent, but I don't want to forget looking at the large population of executive and senior leadership positions that are also aging out of the workforce and what types of challenges and headwinds might companies face to develop the next crop of leaders kind of moving into that space.
There's a couple of things that I think are challenges for organizations as they're trying to replace these senior leaders who are now retiring. One is the assumption that institutional wisdom is getting transferred at all. So I think we sometimes take that for granted that like, oh, well, they'll just work it out. They'll figure out what they need to figure out, or there's some natural through osmosis transfer. And what we have learned is that, no, you actually have to be intentional. You have to dedicate time to it. You have to be thoughtful about it. So that's one of the first challenges, just making sure that wisdom is getting transferred. The second is a risk that organizations face when they do not dedicate a lot of time to plan for how they're going to select and prepare the right leaders for their organization. So as I mentioned, you know, there's about to be a big transfer across a lot of organizations and senior leaders. So the organizations that are planning for this, that are being thoughtful about how they select their leaders and how they're training and upskilling those leaders, are going to do really well. And then I think this last one, it kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier, Amy, about just kind of the perceptions and willingness to try new things. So what I think is going to happen in a lot of these organizations is new leaders are going to come in. They're going to have a different type of experiences. They're either going to be younger and have fewer years, or they're going to come with outside industry experience, and they're going to be serving in these roles. And so they're going to be bringing ideas into the boardroom, into the senior leadership team. And so organizations that are better equipped to navigate these differences in how people think and how they make decisions are going to do really well. And so that's going to be an important thing for organizations to be thoughtful about.
I'm excited about the idea of trying new things, but that might be my natural posture, and I need to get the rest of the industry on board. So I'm not sure if you've got a crystal ball over there in your office, but I'm curious on how you see the next 10 to 15 years of ag bioscience shaking out when it comes to talent and leadership development, as you've worked with organizations and talking about this proactive approach that we've been discussing. Where do you think there's good opportunities, and what do you think it'll look like?
I'll take that in two ways. One is what I think is going to happen, and then I'll also talk about where I think there's an opportunity. One thing that I think is going to happen, just because of the demand for talent is there, and we know we're going to have to find it from some non-traditional places that we haven't traditionally found it. And so I think what we do a lot of work at Viveic in integrating food and ag into K-12 science curriculum. And one of the things that's really exciting is, and it's good news, I think, for the ag bioscience industry, is that when students see examples of how science and engineering is part of the food system, they get really excited. I think we're going to see more and more individuals that do not come from a traditional ag background who were exposed to food and ag through STEM education and found it interesting finding their way into careers in the ag biosciences. And actually, I think that's a really good thing. I think that's exciting. I think it's what we're going to see in the next 10 to 15 years. The opportunity I think that we have, I'm going to share this with a little bit of personal bias. I don't have any data to back this up. This is more intuition. But I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of young professionals who are very talented, and they've had choices. They didn't have to be in the ag industry. They were highly sought after from other industries, but they chose to work in the ag industry. And one of those reasons we mentioned earlier is they see purpose in it. They like the connection to food and see its value in the world. But the other reason is because they see the ag industry, the ag biosciences, as a people-first industry. And I think that we see anecdotes of that all the time. For example, when a family has some sort of a medical situation and other farmers will come and help them harvest their crops. Or I saw a CEO of a major ag company one time in a suit and tie helping someone change a tire, which made him late to the meeting. And of course, everybody understood. There's just something about the DNA of the ag biosciences and the ag industry of being people first. And the reason I think that's an opportunity, if we don't lose it, is at the same time, you know, there's all kinds of research coming out. The Anxious Generation, that book by Jonathan Haidt. There's the previous Surgeon General put out a paper on a loneliness epidemic in America. So as our technology is advancing, there's this fear that the people first part of it's getting left behind. And I think there's an opportunity in the ag biosciences to say, we're an industry that cares a lot about developing people personally. We're invested in people. We're going to upskill you. We're going to help you personally develop through this industry because we put people first. And I think that will make the ag biosciences an industry that many people want to be in.
I think that connection is key. I can give you a little data point from my time at Purdue. I did a freshman survey in our Ag 101 class, and the top reason that every student within the college, no matter their major, chose it was to make a difference. So it resonates with what you just said. You teased us a little bit on what's happening with Vivaic, but curious what's ahead for Vivaic and its agricultural practice and what you're working on.
Vivaic, we've been doing this work for 20 years, and the majority of the work that we've been doing has been connected to ag biosciences. So we work with a lot of ag companies and ag associations. And so we're deeply committed to this industry. And so first of all, we're going to continue to listen and learn. We try to be forward thinking about the challenges, especially in the space of talent development and learning that this industry is going to face. So we want to keep doing what we're doing there. We want to expand our capacity so that we can be a trusted in-house partner for organizations that are wanting to prioritize people and talent development. But there is one thing that's very specific to this conversation that we are very excited about. We've been working on a program that's a six-step rapid development process to help organizations reimagine their leadership development programs. And we're designing this so that it's accessible for organizations that have 15 leaders or 5,000 leaders. And so we think this is, again, a critical need in the industry. And we're very excited to get to work with several of our clients on piloting this six-step rapid development program for leadership development.
Very cool. Excited to see how that unfolds. He's Blaise Curry, Agriculture Practice Lead from Vivaic. Thank you so much for joining us on the Ag Bioscience Podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for joining us. You can watch or listen to episodes of Ag Bioscience by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. While there, don't forget to leave us a review. On behalf of the AgriNovus team, I'm Amy Jones. Thanks for listening and watching. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by AgriNovus Indiana, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, edited by Mike Fisher, photography and design by Kaylee Verstee, video by Darren Cooper and 1898 Creative. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.